I'd love peas. I think we should bring peas back. I don't feel like people eat enough peas.
I do not eat enough
peas. She knows. She's like, I don't eat enough peas.
I don't.
I think peas are underrated.
The only thing peas are good for is for like a black eye. Take them out of the freezer. And
as a freezer bag. They are the best for that because they're soft. That and corn. Corn.
Corn.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black-clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail painting, home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
Your picture down just a little bit.
I gotta get it. Oh,
yeah. There you go. Now we can see your pretty pearl. Oh my gosh.
What's wrong?
You're feeling it. You got spring fever, I can tell.
I have spring break.
Oh, that's me. I was gonna say, you look not that you look very rested. You look very cheerful today. For a Monday.
Spring break.
No more school. No more. Okay. Well, good.
How much it takes out of you.
Geez, I can imagine, and that's why I don't have a full-time job away from the house, because I can imagine.
It's so nice. I've been down to Florence.
Oh, good.
My mama and I went. She taught Bible study.
Oh.
I got up, and I did my quiet time, and I did my firm believer, and I did laundry.
Oh, my goodness.
I got dressed, and I took my vases to the florist for Easter arrangements, and then we went to Florence. I mean, I've done so much.
Isn't it amazing?
And it is amazing, and I had to go pick up my honey-baked ham from Florence.
Okay. I'm getting one, too. I'm picking mine up on the Saturday right before Easter, so hopefully that'll be...
I got it, and...
Is it frozen? Did you get it frozen?
I did. I stuck it in my deep freeze,
Okay.
I'll pull it out. It was just a good time for me to get down there, and, you know, I have to get a ham and a turkey.
Right. Hang on. I'm playing with settings here. I almost canceled this. Oh, my gosh. Yes, you have to get both.
I do.
Who likes what? I can't remember.
Caleb likes ham, but he doesn't like turkey. And John Garrett likes turkey, but he doesn't like ham.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. And if you don't have to cook it, who cares, right? That's
exactly.
That's what I'm saying. If I can just order it, at this point, I'm good to go. Welcome, everybody. We're getting into it. It's episode
178.
Thank you. 178.
Look at me knowing it today.
God, spring break. Your brain's working.
Kind of like spring break.
She's on fire, you guys. I'm not kidding. She's got a little glow about her. It's amazing. It's amazing. Good. Okay. Well, so I was going to talk about this later. It doesn't really matter. But since we're on the topic of food and our Easter meals, let's go through what each of us has planned. What's your little menu for Easter this year, Joni B?
Well, I am doing, I'm going to start with just a charcuterie board for people to snack on, you know, until I can get in from Turkey.
Get them out of the kitchen. Yeah.
And then I have the ham and the turkey. And I think I'm going to do a salad with like the arugula blend, you know, some of those spring greens.
Yes.
And blue cheese crumbles and pears.
Oh, I love that. I love a good pear in a salad.
Yeah. And then I'll have to, well, of course, I have to have the pineapple casserole to go with the ham.
Of course.
I must. If you all are having a ham at Easter, I highly recommend the pineapple casserole. And it is on our designer cornbread webpage.
Designer cornbread podcast.com. And there's a section of recipes and you can go through and go back. It'll be around this time of year.
You can even search it.
There's a
search button, and you can search, and it'll pop right up. So that's a great recipe.
Okay, good.
I'm really trying to cut down some stuff because we do so much, but probably have like roasted potatoes and sugar snap peas. Caleb has requested grilled asparagus.
I'm so proud of him requesting a vegetable. I can't get over that.
Oh, he likes vegetables. They've all liked.
I've never seen that boy eat anything green in my entire life.
No, they like broccoli. They've always liked broccoli. He's likes asparagus.
Okay, good to know. I did not know that.
Okay. And of course, we'll have the little Parker House rolls. And that Ron can't have folic acid. And then I've got a lemon raspberry cheesecake and a carrot cake.
Nice. That sounds amazing.
And I don't have my full menu in front. Oh, and I'll have to have macaroni and cheese for John Garrett. But
oh, that's right. Yeah. I was going to say, I don't think it can be a Schenck family holiday meal without some good mac and cheese.
We got to have Mama Kate's macaroni and cheese.
Mm-hmm. I feel that's a must. Well, ours, we're going to do, I think we already talked about it a little bit, but I'm doing we always do artichokes and hollandaise. That's our first course. And the kids literally, they get very upset when they don't come home at Easter and they don't get their artichoke for the year. Like, that's the only
thing. Honest with you, I get upset when I come to your house and I don't get an artichoke.
She just shows up and it's like, where's the artichokes?
I'm
where's
my artichokes?
It's winter. I don't know. Like,
no, I know.
I'm sorry. Okay. Well, we'll just do artichokes one day, sometime when we're there or you're here, but we do. It's been this, I've done this with my family since I was a little girl. So we always have had artichokes and hollandaise. I've pared it down quite a bit, especially compared to what my parents used to do. And I mean, I don't know how, I know you feel probably sort of the same way, but although you do a lot, and I used to do more, kind of a lot more for these meals, but we had a thing at Easter, and I don't know where it started or how it, whatever, my parents did it where, and it was usually just maybe my mom's parents would be in town. And we would do all these different courses after course, probably just an excuse to use all the pretty dishes. Let's just be honest. My dad was probably like, we're going to use pretty dishes and here's what we're doing. And we just made a big to-do. And you know, when you've got two girls or girl, you know, it's a big to-do. So we had all these little courses and all these things. So I've taken that, but I've severely pared that down over the years. But anyway, the artichokes remain. They have always been the first course and they are a classic favorite. And then I'm doing a honey baked ham this year, which I don't think I've ever done, but maybe once, but they're so good. But we usually cook a ham or do something. And I was like, absolutely not. Honey baked ham for the win. And they do make a good turkey. I have had their turkey breast before. They are very good, actually. So honey baked ham. Let me see. What else do I have down here? I wrote this somewhere, so I wouldn't forget. I'm going to do the buttery dill carrots like we talked about last week. Joni gave a recipe last week.
I forgot about my cinnamon carrots. Yeah, I'm doing
that. Are you doing those or no?
Yes.
Okay. So she gave a good recipe last week. And anyway, I'm just doing a different kind of version of that, but I may do it in the crock pot though. That does sound like a really good idea. You think so it's just the butter and the carrots and then I can just sprinkle the dill and
you're done.
Let them go. Okay. I'm doing that. So just a buttery dill, little baby carrots is going to be so cute. And then, I'm going to do a wasabi mashed peas. They're just sort of slightly mashed. I've made them a long time ago, but it's been a long time. But it's got wasabi and honey and some lemon and with those really fresh, nice, you know, peas. I'm like, that sounds really good. And so we're going to do that. And then green rice, that's a recipe that from my family that we make every single year. And it's real, I feel like you've given a recipe similar. It's basically kind of a rice casserole and it has rice and parsley and green onions and egg and cheddar cheese and a little Worcestershire sauce and a little, like, it's just kind of this yummy sort of cheesy rice with parsley. And it's very, very good. It's very good with ham. It's really good with ham. And then for the dessert, I'm going to do, again, for probably the third year in a row, those individual little blueberry trifle from your recipe of blueberry trifles.
Yeah, that's hard to beat.
Y'all, you can't beat it. You cannot beat that blueberry trifle. People see that and they are like, Thatcher's eyes get just absolutely enormous. And I do them. I do like it in a big trifle, but I love doing, I have little individuals and they're so cute.
Your individuals. And I think you posted a picture of it.
Oh, maybe so.
Somewhere on our website that it was so cute.
And a little little mint leaf on there and a little, and it's just, and it's no trouble. Y'all, it's really not. And it looks so fancy and it's kind of light and fluffy because at the end of all the food.
The stuff. The last thing I want is dessert, you know. I am very much of a come back and eat dessert with coffee, like.
Yes.
Or
hours later.
Yeah.
Yeah, we used to always be that way, especially when kids are little, because A, the adults are all tired and full, and then the kids just want to go play. Like, they kind of want dessert, but you're like, go play. You know, the adults, we got to do the dishes. You know, we're kind of cleaning up and sitting. So it makes sense to do it later. But I don't know. Every once in a while now, we just go ahead right into it. Because the kid, you know, they can just kind of go right in. And I'm like, but this little light and fluffy, it's just air. It's just angel food cake.
Angel food cake and whipping cream.
Cream cheese.
And cream cheese. It is. It's a very light. And that is on our website too, guys.
It is. Y'all, if you don't have an idea, go make it.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I do think this is my third year in a row to make that. So.
Yeah. Usually I make it for our church egg hunt, which was yesterday.
Oh, okay.
I did not make it.
That's okay. You're on spring break, you know.
Oh, I know. And I had a cheesecake in the freezer.
Okay.
And I just took it.
That's good. That's good. You'll have plenty. You can make it for me this summer. I know you need to make me my banana pudding.
Your banana pudding, Miss Bobby's. Yeah. I'll get Miss Bobby to make it.
Okay, we're gonna need to tell her ahead when I'm coming. Okay,
yeah,
because it's all about me. Well, that sounds wonderful. I just love, you know, it's fun to hear what other people are having, and if y'all, you know, put in the comments or whatnot, and let us know if there's something. What do you guys have every year? Like, that's what I'm interested in.
And, like, and because I'd like to change up some stuff. You know,
I mean,
it's like, okay, this is tradition, but I've had this tradition for, you know, 56 years. So what else?
Yeah. And that's what I mean. Like, the peas are different this year. Like, I do the green rice and the ham and the artichokes.
I like cold frozen, you know, the layered salad where your peas are like, or you use the frozen peas. I do not like cooked peas. I cannot stand cooked peas, but I love them uncooked.
I love peas.
It's so weird, but I cannot when they are cooked.
That's the thing too, because I think you can, like, I think we got used to, like, which I still liked these, but like the peas out of the can that were just like, and they'd cook them for school lunch and they were real salty and kind of dull green. You know, they weren't, they were canned peas. And now I still liked those, but you're right. There's a big difference. You know, the fresh are great. You're exactly right. But this recipe is made with, you know, frozen. Frozen peas are actually the way to go because, A, you're not shelling. We're not doing all that. And they're very fresh. Yeah. So you cook them, you boil them in that water, and you just get them, like, greened up a little bit. And I don't know. But I love peas. I think we should bring peas back. I don't feel like people eat enough peas.
I do not eat enough
peas. She knows. She's like, I don't eat enough peas.
Don't.
I think peas are underrated.
The only thing peas are good for is for, like, a black eye. Take them out of the freezer. And
as a freezer bag. They are the best for that because they're soft. That and corn. Corn.
Corn.
You can actually eat that bag. Listen, do we need to tell the story? Do we need to tell our famous pea story? That sounds bad. From camp. Were you part of that with me?
I don't remind me.
I think you were. I'm pretty sure you were. This was probably, it was orientation, work. It was probably 91. It was probably 91 because I feel like it was not my first year as work crew. I already knew the work crew people. Yeah, it was 91 or 92. And it was during orientation. I think, and it was that year. It was freezing. You remember? We wore our coats the whole time in orientation.
John Vonderberg gave me his fleece jacket.
And you stole it and kept it ever since.
Oh, he told me I could keep it.
Oh,
he did, and I did. And just in honor of him, I took it to Ireland with me. But I wore, because I mean, it's summer at camp. I didn't bring anything more. No. I think I stuck in a sweatshirt.
I don't know why or how I ended up bringing my barber jacket that from England, my waxed cotton. I don't know why I would have even thought to bring, it must have been cold enough. We're heading down that, you know, my dad or someone was like, take a jacket.
From Tennessee coming up in the summer. I mean, a cold front came through, and I'm not kidding. I mean, it was
cold.
It was but 0 degrees.
Yeah, because, and this is May, you guys. It was May. It's not like we were all just out of school, you know, basically.
It was toward the end of May. It was towards the end of May.
Yeah. I mean, right now it's 85 degrees today here. So anyway, the story is, I just remember it being very cold. And I don't know, we were having some kind of cookout. It was just the you know, counselors or whoever was there for orientation. And we were having some kind of cookout that night. Sharon, this is when Sharon was...
Oh, dear God.
...was the cook.
Continue.
Because I don't think we would have ever gotten away with this with Granny. Oh. But I don't even know who found the recipe. It wasn't my idea. Someone found the recipe. I think it was Diane. I want to blame Diane for this.
I think it was Diane Sylvius.
I feel like it was Diane Sylvius.
Yes.
So we were having some kind of cookout, burgers and stuff. And we were like, Diane or somebody had a recipe for guacamole made with peas.
Yes.
And she was like, we didn't have any avocado. I mean, come on,
right,
people.
Right, yeah.
And we weren't it was just like of a spur of the moment kind of like, I think. I mean, I really don't know. But she's like, I've
only
seen this.
Only we had some guacamole.
If only, you know, because there was chips and we were like, oh, we could have tortilla chips and guacamole with the burgers and the whatever were being cooked outside. And somehow someone came up with this, had this recipe. And again, this is back in the day, guys. We weren't looking things up on phones. I mean, she must have had it clipped out. I don't know where she got it. I have no idea. But it was guacamole made with peas, like frozen peas.
Yes.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't think they were just thawed out frozen peas.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, we made that guacamole and it wasn't bad, you guys. I thought it was actually good. I was surprised. It was good. And we served that thing up. We scooped it up in this bowl and put it out there for these boys and all these counselors. And of course, my future husband, Tim Royals, comes up. Oh, guacamole. I mean, he loves him some. And they're dipping in the chips and they're scarfing this guacamole down. And we're just over there giggling. I don't know why we thought it was so funny. And they're like, what? And we're like, that's made out of peas. And then all of a sudden they're like, ew, gross. And I'm like, you just ate half of it.
Ate the whole bowl.
You ate the whole thing. I don't know why that was so funny, but that
I'm glad you were my, I had forgotten about the
our pea guacamole. That sounds so bad. Yeah. I do remember it being good though. I mean, I was like, well, this isn't bad. You know, it tasted again, the fresh peas, and we must've had salsa and lemon and I don't know what all, and I don't know who came up with it. Diane, I'm blaming her for some reason, but I have no idea.
I think that's right. I think it was Diane Sylvius's recipe, 100%.
I feel like it. I feel like it. So that's what we're going with. She's not here to deny it. So,
right.
So I don't know how we got on the topic.
Hey, Diane, yeah.
Peas are underrated. Eat more peas. Oh, but what else? So tell, you said you had your little Easter church little.
We did. Yes. Yeah. So I'm not on the fellowship committee anymore. So I know.
Joni, how did you get off of that?
Well, you roll off every 3 years. Usually they put you back on there, but evidently they didn't know they could do that. And I didn't say anything. So,
Joni, that's good, honey.
Oh,
that's good.
Listen, I have been able to walk in church and sit down and eat whatever we're eating. And I get to throw my little plate in the garbage can and walk out the door.
Honey, you got to take a year off at least. Yes.
I am telling you.
That's like they do with the deacons and stuff. Like after two terms or something, you got to roll off a year because you got to be able to just show up.
And, you know, and I looked at my calendar and I'm filling stuff in. Like, so we had egg hunt. We had our homecoming is at the end of April. And in the middle of it, and I'm still doing this, we have a golden oldies luncheon.
Mm-hmm.
They asked me if I'll cook for which
they asked you to come to it. They asked you to be the honored guest.
They asked me to cook for them. I told them because when you hit 60, you can start going. And I said, when I turn 60, I am not cooking for this.
Oh, no.
I'm coming as a guest.
Absolutely, somebody, honey.
It's not, somebody's going to cook for me. Anyway.
That sounds so good.
All of that said, when I looked at my calendar for this April, and I'm looking and I'm realizing, I'm not in charge of this. I'm not in charge of this. I'm not in charge of this. And then I went, I've only got one thing at church that I'm in charge of. Out of four things that I had, like, you know, I mean, it was like every week. Anyway.
That's just wonderful.
Let me tell you about my weekend, though.
Okay.
Some conflict, but it also involves a little bit of camp here.
Oh.
So I am watching Mississippi State play baseball, and we played Ole Miss.
Oh, how'd they do? I didn't watch anything.
He swept them.
I'm trying to be reserved.
So let me tell you that I feel a little guilty within my celebration.
Okay.
And here is why. Do you remember Phyllis Alford?
I do. I just remembered her name, and now her face came. Very nice. Very sweet.
Oh, very sweet.
Yeah, she was a really nice girl.
Phyllis was in my cabin, I think, every year. Absolutely loved her. You know, I mean, she was one that I couldn't wait to see every year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, camp is so awesome because all you know people to be is who they are. Mm-hmm. You know, she's just Phyllis. Mm-hmm. She's just Phyllis. But if you go to Oxford, Mississippi, Phyllis is the granddaughter of Tom Swayze, and she is the daughter of Warner Alford. Never knew this at camp. I'm going to.
I don't know. Okay, because I don't know who they. Okay, I'm about to be excited.
Never knew this at camp.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't, and it wouldn't have mattered at camp.
Nope.
And which I think is so great that Phyllis could be Phyllis. She wasn't anybody's anybody. We don't go through pedigrees. We just know them as, you know, Camp Phyllis.
Or they might even get a totally other nickname that's not even their name.
Right.
For forever.
Right. You know, it just didn't matter.
Right.
No, yeah. Nobody could. They loved you for who you were,
yeah.
Period. Well, and you don't understand that, you know, things don't, you don't understand when you're young, the magnitude of some of these. But anyway, I'm watching Mississippi State play Ole Miss. And during, I don't know, a pitching change or something, I just pulled up Facebook and I'm scrolling through. And Phyllis had just posted that her daddy died. And I went, oh, well, Warner Alford was the athletic director at Ole Miss.
Oh.
He played football at Ole Miss. He led them to two Sugar Bowls.
What? I'm looking him up.
He's in the Mississippi Hall of Fame, Sports Hall of Fame.
Oh, my word.
He's a big deal at Ole Miss. Okay.
My God. Well,
so he is recruited by Tom Swayze to come play at Ole Miss. Tom Swayze was actually the baseball coach. That was the first year he started recruiting for the football program too. So he recruited Warner Alford, and then Mr. Alford fell in love with Coach Swayze's daughter.
Oh, you're kidding.
They got married. And of course had wonderful godly people, you know, had three children. And if you would look up Holly, the name of, can you look, just Google real quick. Have you got your phone?
I do.
Google the name of the Ole Miss baseball field.
Name of Ole Miss base. Field. Swayze Field. That'd be sweet.
That would be Phyllis's grandfather. Yes.
And it opened in 1989. So right in honor of Tom Swayze, a former Ole Miss baseball player and coach, well known for his atmosphere. Oh my. No, I didn't. I certainly did not know that.
Okay. So I am watching Mississippi State play Ole Miss on Swayze Field. And I look and Phyllis's dad has died.
Oh, honey.
And I got to tell you, I cheered for Mississippi State, but I felt real guilty doing it.
I was going to say, please say you didn't just get totally obnoxious.
Not get obnoxious.
Okay.
Not, you know, but yeah, yeah.
That,
but,
isn't that a full circle? Who even knew?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah. My goodness.
And
well,
not to take away from their accomplishments, but it can't. Nobody cared.
No, no. And certainly St. Louis people, we would have had no idea. Like,
yeah.
We
yeah.
didn't even, I mean, yeah. we would have had zero clue. Yeah. But you're right. Cause like, even so, again, not to whatever, but the, and I remember experiencing this myself, just not, I had good friends at school. I had a good experience where in my schools I had good, you know, but there was just something about going to camp, and I was myself. I mean, I like I said, I don't want to diminish anything because I really did have a good high school and junior high experience and great friends. But there was something about just letting down, like not, I don't know. I can't even put it into the words, but y'all know, y'all have been in high school and junior high, and there's a lot to kind of worry about, mm-hmm. right? Just you're sort of, you know, there's a lot going on. And at camp, you just didn't. You just knew you were going to go and you weren't going to have to worry if you did something so dumb, or you could just be silly and fun. And people that were a little odd could be real superstars at camp. Yeah. And maybe they weren't at home. And I don't mean that. I mean just what y'all know I mean.
Yeah.
You know, schools and places when people know you for forever, but at camp you come and man, you're hilarious and you're great. And then on the opposite of that, people that maybe had a lot of expectations or pressures because they were the daughter of whoever, this place and this family in this town, and or their older sibling, whatever it is, they could just come and be themselves.
Yes, be nobody.
See, no, okay. Just be, exactly. And you know what? If you're growing up in a town, a smaller town especially, and you've got that, it's...
And in the small southern towns, there is a lot of expectation.
There's a lot. There's a lot of pressure in that different way. And so anyway, that's that, and pressure in all the ways from all the kids coming from all the places. You know, one of the greatest blessings of camp was that of just... at least for my experience and for a lot of people, you know, not, I know maybe not everybody, but it was just the idea. You didn't have any pressure. That's what it was. That's exactly what it was, Joni. Right. No pressure, no parental pressure. Not that, again, I had the greatest, like, but no pressure to perform at a certain level or make a certain grade or make a whatever. It was just like.
It's funny, you know, as we age and our parents start, you know, dying, and, you know, different people post different things, you know, or obituaries or whatever. Like, I remember when M. Square and Clarkie's dad died, and I'm reading obituary, and I'm like, dang, you know, what? And this was all while I was at college in Mississippi, and, you know, but, and I knew, and there's things that, you know, as I got older, I certainly knew who Coach Alford was. I certainly knew who Coach Swayze was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then even being at Mississippi State when it became, you know, when Ole Miss named their Swayze Field, you know, I knew all this, but the magnitude of it doesn't strike me because it's just Phyllis.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's Phyllis.
Yep.
And then she's posting different, you know, articles and things as, you know, this week. And I'm reading one today, and it starts talking about, you know, Archie Manning said this about, you know, Warner Alford.
Oh,
and
I'm like, snap.
Phyllis,
we maybe would have liked to have known a few things.
I'm telling Mom about this. We're driving down to Florence today. And I said, Mom, this is when I wish Granddaddy were still alive, because I would make so much fun of him, because the high school gymnasium here is named after my granddaddy. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, Caleb Welch Gymnasium, after he and his best friend. And I thought if my granddaddy were still alive, I would say, Granddaddy here, I thought it was a big deal. You had this local high school gymnasium named after you. My friend Phyllis says that her granddaddy has the Ole Miss baseball field named after him.
So take that, Granddaddy.
make that. You
That's
big
hilarious. And he would have come back with some saucy comment back at you. So,
you know, so anyway, I just,
that's cool.
I had to, we swept Ole Miss, and normally I would be, very
obnoxious
and obnoxious. And, yes. And,
but you've toned it down in respect for, okay, Phyllis, enjoy that. Cause it may not
guilty.
It's not going to happen again. So
it's your one time.
It's your one time shot. Well, our condolences do go out to Phyllis. How about we say that?
I am going to say this about Phyllis. Mm-hmm. I did that I know of, you know, I mean, I may have done some things that I don't know, but I did one mean girl thing with Phyllis at camp.
You did?
I did.
I
still feel guilty about.
Oh, goody, tell.
I mean, it like legit feel guilty like I am.
You did a bad thing at camp?
Did a bad thing.
Hino is rolling in his grave. What is it? Go ahead.
I know, but it is my one bad thing that I did.
Okay.
So there's this girl that we did not particularly like in our cabin. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, I can't even remember why we didn't like her.
Who knows?
Very much. But So there was a girl that came with Phyllis. Was her name Rachel or Leah? Maybe it was both. I don't know. And Phyllis and myself. And one of them came up with the idea, maybe they had done it before, to put baby oil in shampoo.
Oh.
It may have been their idea and they may have been there, but I was the one that did it.
You were the guilty.
I was the guilty. I put the baby oil in the shampoo. And this poor girl, I mean, her hair was oily. So what do you do when your hair's oily?
You put more shampoo in.
You wash it again. You keep
No. She couldn't figure out it wasn't sudsing. It wasn't, y'all. That was a bad one, Joni.
I'm not kidding.
Just a big grease wad?
Yes. It was terrible.
Oh.
It was terrible.
You need to apologize right now to Leah, Rachel, Leah.
No, it wasn't. That wasn't her name.
Oh, that was the girl that helped you. Okay.
Her name was Patricia.
Okay. Well.
No, I'm sorry, Patricia. I have felt guilty about it for 40 years.
There you go. Please forgive Joni.
Yes.
And Phyllis and Rachel Leah. That's such a camp thing, though. And that baby oil. But you know what, you idiots? That baby oil just went down that drain and probably clogged up the whole. Those drains were precarious at best. Good night. With all the hair going down there and all that baby oil.
Maybe it just made the hair slide on down.
I don't think so. I think it made a big old. They probably had to replace something and get a plumber out there. How old were you when you did this?
I think we were in middle school.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, that's
a middle school. Yeah.
But that was, I mean, that's the only like mean girl thing that I can. Ever.
Well, she probably deserved it. So let's just go with that.
And I say this, y'all.
Don't be mean to people.
Listen, Phyllis is very sweet. This is in no way a reflection on.
Yeah, she's probably like, thanks a lot. I didn't appreciate having you share
Sorry,
that.
Sorry, I just outed you.
Sorry, Phyllis.
Here's the other thing that I did, though. So I looked, there's a girl from Savannah that lives here that she went to Ole Miss. She now lives in Oxford. And, you know, so. And she's real active in Ole Miss alumni stuff. And so I figured she probably knew Phyllis. So I looked at her friends list on Facebook and sure enough, she was friends with Phyllis. And so I just messaged her and said, hey, I just saw you are friends with Phyllis Alford. Would you please, if you go to any of this funeral stuff, will you please give her a big hug for me? Mm-hmm. She said, sure. Well, in some conversations between Betsy and Clarkey, I found out that Clarkey knows Betsy and loves Betsy.
Oh, okay.
And so I also said, and Betsy, I also am friends with Ann Clark Downing. And next time you run into her, just yell, hey, carcass.
Hey, carcass.
Carcass.
Oh, yes. She'll love that. That'll be great, Jones.
Exactly where that came from.
Yep. Yeah. That'll be great. It'll make her smile big.
Yes.
It'll make her smile big. Good old carcass.
Good old carcass. Yes.
See, sometimes you get names, they just stay.
Yes. Anyway, Phyllis, I'm very sorry about your dad. And I did refrain from cheering very much just out of respect.
Out of respect.
Respect and love for you.
That's wonderful. Very, very, very good. Very proud of you.
Mississippi State still swept Ole Miss.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, well, the reason, listen, Tim called you, you know, he called you the other night and you were in the bed on your trip. You were in Chattanooga. And believe me,
an hour ahead there.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. We were sitting watching something and he goes, and all of a sudden he's got the phone out. I don't know how we were talking about, I guess baseball, I guess chat. I don't even know. And next thing I know, he's got his phone out and he's dialing. And I said, "Where are you calling?" And he said, "I'm calling Joni. I'm calling Jones." Cause he wanted to tell you he was going to buy tickets for Omaha. He was looking at tickets for Omaha. Okay, well, don't take him up on it now. Who knows? He's probably come to his senses. But he was looking at Omaha tickets. And he's like, "Oh, it's like for the whole day you get a ticket and then you go to all." And I was like, "Oh, that's cool," because I don't know anything.
Yeah, you go to all the games.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, "Well, that makes sense," because you don't ever know when.
Right.
Like, you can't really plan. Anyway, so that he saw that and he was like, "I'm going to tell Joni, you guys need to get your tickets." And so he just calls you up. And then literally as he's dialing, I'm like, "Honey, it's late." It was already like probably 9:30 or 10. And then I was like, and I think she's in, Chattanooga, an hour ahead. And then you answered and I was like, "Oh Lord," but you were in the bed and I felt so bad. So that's what he was calling about.
It's okay.
Because he felt the need at that moment to tell you.
Timmy, you can wake me up anytime to get me Omaha tickets.
Well, I don't think he's thought another thing about it. Because I explained to him, I said, "Well, we don't know. It's going to depend." I said, "Joni asked. She said if I wanted to go with her." But
we could resell them easily.
True. The thing is you've got to get hotel.
You know, Orange City is close.
It's not.
How many? 2 hours. Two. It'd be like driving from here to Memphis to a ball game.
Well, that's true. If you're going for the day.
Nashville, yeah. And we wouldn't have to stay for every game. You know,
right. Right. If the night game wasn't something, right.
I'd drive 2 hours to save, you know, that much.
Well, like I said, I don't mind getting a hotel, but I just think they're going to be expensive and booked up.
How close is M. Hinton?
Look at us just like assuming people want us to stay. John didn't have a choice, so whatever. We might be coming. Surprise.
M. Hinton doesn't really have a choice.
Well, that could be true too. Oh my gosh. Anyway, that's what he was calling you about. And I felt really bad because he didn't need to call about that.
Listen, Emily Hinton was one of our campers. And in our cabin, we were both her counselors.
I was not her counselor.
But you were never.
No.
Oh, so it was me. I am the only one.
Yes.
So,
I had like the couple years below that year below or so.
Posted this thing. She'd just gotten another degree and is now a counselor. So I immediately called her up and I said, "I just want you to know that this makes me counselor of counselors."
We know you've already told us this joke, Joni. You told us this around Christmas because you were so happy that you were the counselor of counselors. You are. It's true. It's true. There's no denying it. Yeah, I'm trying to think what else. We didn't really do much. We did, let's see. We did get this Friday, Tim called from work and he said, "How about a fish fry? How about on my way home I get," because all the Catholic, we have a very Catholic, St. Louis is a very Catholic town. So we have tons of churches and parishes and they all take turns. They don't all do a fish fry every Friday for Lent. They kind of, I don't know how they branch it off, but they rotate. So different ones are having it at different times, which makes sense. So they all get a chance to do whatever. So he's like, how about fish fry on my way home? I'll pick something up. And a lot of them are drive through. I mean, they got it going on. Like it's a situation up here.
And got it. They know what they're doing.
They know what they're doing. But anyway, so he said, "Yeah, I think it's at St. Gerard's." And I said, "Oh, okay." I said, "That sounds good." He said, "Isn't that the place with the mean basketball people?" And I said, "That is. That's the place with the mean." So long story short, we back in the day when Thatch was a young wee one, and they played for Twin Oaks, little basketball team. Anyway, they played in the youth league, the Catholic youth league. Let the Presbyterians in. Anyway, and that was one of the teams we played. And sorry, but they were not nice.
Did they put oil in your shampoo?
No, they didn't. I don't think they put any baby oil in anybody's shampoo. But again, no one was shampooing there. There weren't, you know, these were young boys. They were not showering. My point is, though, like, you know, y'all know there's schools and parents and there's some that are, and this one was consistently, they were not nice. They were not nice. They played dirty.
Yeah.
To the point of, like, it was pretty bad. And always, we never had a good experience playing there. We hated playing them. We did like it when we beat them. That always made us really happy. But my point is, we got the fish fry. Tim brought it home in these beautiful containers. And they had, you could get baked or fried. So he got one of each. He kind of split up the meals. Baked fish, the fried fish, fried shrimp. The fried fish was very good. You would have, the coating, everything delicious. The baked was good. It wasn't as good as the fried. The shrimp, amazing. They had, most places will have like that. And then maybe some fries and some coleslaw, you know, just something like that. They had the hush puppies. They had these really good green beans, like your classic kind of yummy, salty, hot green beans. They had a very good mac and cheese and homemade coleslaw and some dessert we didn't end up eating, but all that food was in this thing. And I'm telling you what, it was delicious. And I looked over at Tim and I said, you know, nasty competitive parents do not make for good youth basketball, but it makes for a darn good fish fry.
Good fish fry.
Because, you know, they were like, we're going to win the fish fry. The St. Louis Catholic fish fry competition. We're going to win it. We're in it to win it. And they did a very good job. So congratulations, St. Gerard's. Oh, hope you guys are nicer now. But anyway, oh, that was our big news. Okay. Were you the one that was telling me, or were you one of the people that were telling me about the Pit? Do you watch the Pit? That
I
medical?
Do watch the Pit, but we got rid of. What is it on? Is it on Cinemax or HBO?
I don't know. I'm only here to tell you that we finally started watching it, and everyone has said it's good, and it is. And Thatcher was saying, "Have you guys watched this? This is really good." And so the other night, Tim and I were home and we started it. I got through two episodes and I'm out. I can't watch it. I have become,
Why?
And it is a good show. Let me preface this. It's a really good show. The acting, the guy that plays, you know, I still call him Dr. Carter. I know he's not Dr. Carter.
Oh, Wiley. Yeah.
There you go. Dr. Rob, I think is what he is. Very ER-esque, you know, back in the day for our generation, of course. Really good show. Well written, all the things. But the amount of times that I was talking at the TV and Tim's like, it's okay. He's like, it's fine. It's fine. And I'm like, I know, but they need to let that man die because he wants to. And those kids don't need to be arguing over it. I mean, and I finally just, I got through two and I said, okay, I said, I'm good. I'm out because my entertainment, I cannot be subjected to just like that much grief and stress and anxiety for my like pleasure entertainment. And that's why I stopped watching ER back in the day. Once I had kids, I had to quit watching ER. Yeah. And I watched that show every night.
Because in the ER, it is that much.
It's
stress and trauma.
It is. It's so real. And Tim looked over at me when he went, but you have no problem watching a serial killer documentary. I'm like, that's right. I don't. That doesn't give me stress. But this show.
All asleep. To a serial.
Fall asleep to that, but it doesn't give me the stress that this ER show does. Okay. And can I explain it all the way? No, but I do think I said, the chances of me getting killed by a serial killer are very slim. Like of a horrific, you know, it's really a small chance. The chance of something happening to myself or someone I love and having to go to an ER and medical things and end of life issues and all this stuff, that's very likely. So that's the difference is watching people. I don't know if that makes any sense. It probably doesn't, but I'm out. So Tim's keeping watching it and that's great. And again, it's a good show. I enjoyed the show. I just can't.
Yeah, we got three seasons, and then Ron canceled whatever
it's on. Yeah, I don't even know what it's on.
He does that to me all the time. I'll get into like The Crown. Well, yeah. And really, I was in agreement. We did cancel Netflix. Netflix yeah. came out with a show that was homosexual Jesus and pot-smoking Mary.
Hmm.
And I just... And we even called Netflix and complained about it, and they totally blew us off. You know, now if it were Muhammad, you know, that would not have happened.
Right.
But I looked at Ron. I said, okay, I cannot pay for this.
Right. You have a choice you get to make.
I'm into my home and stand before the Lord and say, yeah, not only did I watch all that, but I paid for it to come into my house. I just thought, I can't.
I know. The problem is they all have stuff like that on them.
They all do. Yeah.
And you're not wrong. I did the same thing. I did the same thing with Netflix back over a different thing. I was just like, I'm good.
The little kid one where they were the perverted.
It was like cheerleading, dancing. I don't know. It was something really not pervert, good.
Like, yeah.
I had people arguing with me about how it was artistic and fine that these little girls were like flashing their crotches. And I was like, I'm good.
No, and even and I'm so sick of hearing the F word. And they drop it in all the time. And it's reality. And I'm like, look, if your reality is people saying that every other word, you need to find new friends.
Because right. Like, that's not really everybody's reality. And unless you're like in a war zone, like you're in combat, like then all bets are off. You can say whatever you want. I've told my kids that I'm like, cussing is fine when you're in World War II and you're in the war and you're doing the things. That's fine. I have no problem because I'd be cussing too.
I tell my kids at school, of course, when we're going over the rules, one of them is no cursing. That is an automatic ISS suspension. And then I stop and I say, look, anytime you work with food, you have the possibility of having mice. We take every precaution to prevent it.
Right.
But it occasionally happens. And I said, and when it does, we have to sanitize everything and all that. It's a big pain. I said, but it occasionally, especially if we get hard rains, things like that, they sometimes come in the building and we try to prevent it as much as possible. However, sometimes it happens. I said, now, if a mouse jumps out at you, I'm not going to tag you.
No, no.
Because if a mouse jumps out at me, you're most likely going to hear dirty come flying out of my mouth. However, don't walk in this classroom going that blankety blank blank. I'm going to kick her blankety blank blank and she can kiss my blankety blank. I said, there's a big difference.
There is.
Between.
There's a time and a place.
A fear between a fear factor.
Yes.
And just being inappropriate.
I know. That's a good point. That's a good distinction, right? Sometimes there's a time that, like I said, you know, you're firefighting or a police running after a dude, or you're in the war or something's happening or a mouse jumps.
You're like talking to John Vonderbrugge.
I didn't say it, John. She said it, but I didn't say it.
Yeah. Oh, he knows. My kids know.
They do know. When she gets off the phone with him, she gets a wordy, dirty mouth.
It's why I'm on the phone with him.
That's right. She's like, she's talking to Uncle John again.
Yeah, it's Uncle Boogie. Yeah.
I know. It's a good to be known for something.
That's right.
That is too funny. Oh my goodness. Well, the only other thing that Tim and I had, we had another, our latest little disagreement. So we had the clapper last week. For those of you who missed it, I want to put a clapper on Tim's lamp beside his bed. He has been turning it off though. I think I scared him. But our latest disagreement was we watched, no, it's a long story. We just finished watching, or I finished, he watched like the first three with me, the Twilight movies. So I listened to the books. I checked out the book. I'm like, let me listen to the book. I think I read them, you know, a million years ago when they came out, or not when they came out. I don't read anything right when I'm a little bit late to things. But, and I was like, wonder if the book, anyway, and they were fine. You know, I forget that these are a teen romance book. And now they're clean. I mean, they're clean.
I thought I watched the Twilight movies with you.
You know what? You might have.
I think
I feel like you did. And we were like, Tim made us watch that. And you were all, Tim making me watch the vampire movie. I'm going to hell. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I had to hear all about that, y'all. Yes, I do recall that now that you say that. So I was watching them again. I hadn't watched them since then. And you know, the books, like I said, and it's a teen romance. That's the genre. Plus then you've got your vampires and your werewolves. Only it is clean. Like I said, I will say that. I mean, there's kiss, you know, but there's no, they don't. There's no...
You don't do the horizontal.
No, no. Nobody... I don't think anybody does through the whole... Like, so in that sense, it's actually quite... You're like, oh, wow. But we were watching the movies and it was hilarious because first of all, there's a gnat. She's laughing at me, y'all. There's a gnat trying to get me up here.
Like swinging her hand like she's in the nursing home, like reaching for stuff in the air.
There was a bug. Anyway, so we're watching it and you know, we're kind of laughing because it's, I don't know, teen romance-y. And then also, like, for some reason, what's her name? The Bella actress, I don't remember her name. Kristen Stewart, that's it. She is like cross-eyed in like half the movie. She's cross-eyed. And it's so hilarious. And what it is, I think her eyes are slightly like her one lid is, I don't know. And when you are close to something, so when she and Edward are close, she's totally cross-eyed. And it made us laugh so hard because we couldn't take it seriously. Cause we're like, oh my gosh, did they not, you have to, as an actor, you're supposed to like, I mean, you can't if the person's face is right there. So I don't know how they do this, but like, you're supposed to focus beyond it because you'll go cross-eyed. And so she's cross-eyed. And then, so he does it to me all the time now. When he wants to look lovingly at me, he'll just go cross-eyed. It's actually really funny. So if you all see us out and about, and when we're just
that way,
we're just cross-eyed at each other, it means we love each other. But it doesn't mean we're demented. Nothing's wrong. We're fine. And then when the actor or the character, whoever, the werewolf guy, Jacob, would come out. And like in the whole movie, he's like shirtless, you know. And Tim's always like, there he is with no shirt again.
Because I like the werewolf.
Okay. Here's what our disagreement was. Because Tim goes, and I just looked over at him and I went, Team Jacob all the way, baby.
Oh, I was Team Jacob.
All the way. And he's like, what? He's like, no, Team Edward. And I'm like,
no, Team Edward. No.
I said, honey, back when it all came out, and I wasn't, you know, we age-wise weren't hitting.
We weren't in that genre.
Our kids weren't old enough and we were too old. So like we knew of the cultural phenomenon, but it's not like, although some people our age, I think we're probably pretty into it. We were right on that edge. But I said, honey, I like Edward. Like I remember watching the movies and I'm like, he's likable. And I remember kind of back in the day going, you know, I know this is who she ends up with. So, okay, Team Edward. But I was like, but I always in my heart was always Team Jacob.
Always in my heart.
Jacob. Always in my heart. And he's like, no, he's so immature. I'm like, hey, he's 15 with the book. Like he's young. He's young. And I'm like, you got Mr. Stone Cold Stone Lips over there who she's snuggling up against cold dead guy.
Yes, pasty.
Blech. Pasty. And he's fine. It's fine. I'm just saying. And I mean, and Jacob's lives out and is more in the, you know, nature and is more, it's just a healthier, I said, honey, it's just a healthier relationship. That's a healthier relationship because Edward was very manipulative.
Edward was toxic.
He was. Now, I mean, they really love each other and all that. It's all fine. But it's like, he kept not telling her stuff. Yeah, he kept not telling her stuff because he's like, I just need to protect you. So I didn't want to tell you this. And all these games, you know, it was such a like drama thing. And I'm like, no, just absolutely not. Team Jacob. So Tim would just get mad every time Jacob came out without a shirt on. He's like, there, he doesn't have a shirt on again. I'm like, well, if you look like that, you don't need to wear a shirt. Okay. And I had to explain, he's a werewolf at this point. And so they run like 108 degrees.
Yes.
So he's warm. He can save Bella in the snow, but Mr. Stone Coldy over there can't do anything.
I let it check it and see.
Fever of 103. Okay. Anyway, so that was our latest. I'm glad to, I should have never doubted you'd be Team Jacob.
Oh, I am Team Jacob.
Yeah. Yeah. I was, and I even was the second time through. I'm like, no, I'm like, absolutely not.
Kind of Dustin Carfield.
Oh, you're right.
Dustin Carfield.
You're right in a way, a little bit. A story for another day. He's probably married with children. Don't say his full name on here. Is. Good Lord. It's fine. Anyway, that was our latest disagreement. So that's what we talk about. My kids were like, you guys are talking about the Team Jacob and team. And I'm like, yeah,
and
we are. Okay. Anyway. Okay. Are we done? Is there anything else you need to talk about?
No. I just looked up at my time and went, oh, we've talked for a while here.
I know it. We really have.
So it is time for my recipe.
Yes,
ma'am.
And I'm
going to give you a big old throwback one from all of our Easter. Matter of fact, most of our Sunday lunches with my grandmother.
Mm.
I'm not making this for Easter, but every time I see my younger cousin, Andrew, he talks about my grandmother's party pink salad all the time.
Party pink salad.
Party pink salad. So we're going to throw it back to like the 50s where the Jell-O salad.
Okay. All I know is there's going to be some kind of marshmallow. There's going to be.
Yes.
Sugar. Yes. Cool Whip might be involved.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
I can't wait.
So this is my grandmother's party pink salad. And it was at every Sunday luncheon that we ever had. Okay. It is one 20-ounce can of crushed pineapple.
Yes, the crushed pineapple.
But reserve your juice. And
reserve your juice because you need that sugar juice to make your Jell-O.
Okay. 24 large marshmallows.
It's not a salad.
1 6-ounce package of raspberry gelatin.
Oh, Lord.
2 cups of cottage cheese.
Oh,
is not specified in this recipe, but I would use the small curd.
Okay. So we got some protein in this salad. We got some protein in here. Okay.
1 cup of chopped pecans.
Yum.
Half a pint, which is 1 cup of whipping cream whipped. So you can whip that up. All right.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So you're going to drain your juice from the crushed pineapple, but drain that juice into like a saucepan. Okay. Because you're going to place that juice over low heat and you are going to add your marshmallows. And
Oh, Lord.
So I would cut those large marshmallows.
Those mellows. Cut those mellows up.
Cut them up into, probably I'd quarter them just so that they melt faster. Okay.
Okay.
Stir until it's all dissolved. And then you're going to take that off the heat. Cool it. Once it's cool, add your cottage cheese, your pineapple, and your pecans. And then you're going to fold it into your whipped cream.
It's going to be so pink.
Yes.
It's going to be really pretty.
It really is pretty for
it is pretty. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or like a baby shower.
Mm. Yeah. So fold in your whipped cream, and then you're going to chill it. Now you can put it, if you want to put it in a Jell-O mold or whatever. Grandma just always did it like in a
9x13.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that is Dorothy McCaleb's Party Pink Salad.
Party Pink Salad. That is just taking me back for real.
Yes.
That's like every church potluck. And you do, and you cut them in the squares, and then maybe they'd put a dollop of something on top.
Stick it on a little lettuce leaf.
Stick it on a little lettuce leaf.
Got to have that greenery underneath.
You got to have that pretty greenery under there for your salad.
Remember the canned pears?
Yep.
Half a pear and you put it on lettuce and then put like mayonnaise and cheese over it.
Yep, like cream cheese and mayonnaise or some kind of mixture. Yeah, yep. Back in the day. Oh my goodness. But I bet that is a really beautiful pink color. And I do like any a Jell-O salad like that with the nuts in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, even the cottage cheese in it and
creamy,
the nuts. It gives it a nice texture.
Yes.
You think cottage cheese and you think, bleh, you know.
No, it's very good.
Very good in it. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Now bring it back, people. Bring back peas and bring back Jell-O salad.
Jell-O salad.
Please. My gosh, that's amazing.
The Jell-O bowl. Yeah.
Jell-O. You know I love Jell-O. All right. Are you ready for my top three?
Top three.
I am ready.
Okay, I'll go through it kind of quickly because we shared a lot of good stories today. I gotta say, this was story time. Joni needs to be on spring break more often.
I have some energy.
She's got a lot of energy. Okay, the first thing on my top three is something that I've mentioned before, but I have not made it a top three, and I'm kind of reporting back because I think I mentioned when I ordered them. So at the end of the year sometime, I was telling you guys about the little mini prints that I ordered off of this website called Inkify, and then I was going to use those to make a yearbook every year, and I'm working on that, and I really like them. I have the 2x3, so they're kind of either portrait or landscape little pictures. They do come in, you can get square, you can get some different ones, but and we'll put the link in there. But they all came, and I've had them for a while, and I've got it all set up on my little dining room table. Anyway, and I really enjoy them. They came out really nice, and they're just like these little decks of cards, and I got them all in order, and now I'm going through, and it's so easy to put them in an album, which is exactly what I wanted to do. Because again, that they're all the same size, you just kind of figure out your little layout. And I have room to write, and I can write a date, and I can write whatever. It's kind of like a scrapbook it's just an easy way for me to do it. And then along with that, then my second thing is the album that I got to put to use. So this is off of Amazon, and we'll link it. It's called, I can't even say this, Mub Album. Anyway, it's a brand, and they have all kinds of different sizes, but it's a really pretty, it's like one of those kind of linen looking, yes. You know what I mean? I went ahead and got the 8.5x11. I was going to do a 10x10 square because I really liked the idea. I didn't want it to be so huge. I didn't want a big 12x12, creative memory scrapbook. I wanted it to be a little more manageable. And I was looking at the square ones, and I ordered a couple of those, but ended up sending them back because I couldn't find the clear plastic refill pages. And even from the company that sold the album, I couldn't find the refill pages. So I was like, well, that defeats the purpose of kind of making this easy. So I just went ahead and went with the 8.5x11 because there was refills for that. My paper fits in it. I'm using just a brown cardstock, kind of craft brown. So the picture's on the brown. It's just really cute, really fun. And in fact, Avery liked it so much, she's doing it. Same album and everything, just a different color. And she's doing that with her little pictures, and she is enjoying it. So yeah, it's
good because I just have them on my phone.
I know. And I just got to where I thought, how can I do this so that at the end of the year, every year, I can just grab off my phone, off of Tim's phone, off of, and at least do something. Is it perfect? No. But the other day, I was just sticking more in there, and it was like Tim and Hudson's trip to New York to see Thatch. And so it's all these pictures of them and on the sub. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to see these. If I don't just have a book to put them in. So I've been real happy with those two items. They've made it very easy for me. And then the last thing, my last top three, is that two of the three out of my three kids are going to be home this week for Easter. And I'm very excited about that. We only get Thatch and Ave this year. Hudson Trotter is heading off tomorrow to New York City to hang out with a friend for the week. And of course, did he have any idea it was Easter? And
no,
I mean,
I did invite all your children to my house.
You're so kind. Thank you. Always just keep that a standing invite because you never know. But, again, Easter is one of these things where I'm like, it's not the same day. Like, how can we know?
Right.
We never know when Easter's going to be. So it's totally fine. He had an opportunity to go and do that. And then sweet Joey has been so sweet. And it's hard when you've got a job they took a lot of time off to come to the wedding down in Louisiana. So they took time off to do that, which was amazing. So he's like, I need to work and be at work, and Avery can do some remote. So he's like, just go. And I said, honey, you can stay there for Easter. I said, don't. And she's like, no, it's fine. He said, I should just go and no big deal. So I was like, okay. So we get Thatch and Ave, and so that'll be really fun. And just Easter, it's been a really good Lent. And yeah, so I'm just looking forward to it. So that's it. That's all I got.
Well, happy Easter, everyone.
Happy
drop about Thursday or before Good Friday. So
exactly.
Holiday.
Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the time doing whatever. If you're not a church person or you haven't been, you know, you might, you know, go think about popping in somewhere, even on a Good Friday afternoon. There's concerts and things that happen, and you know, you don't have to be a member or make a big commitment. You can just pop in and have some time. So churches love to see anybody and everybody coming. So, all right, guys. On that note, we'll talk to you next week, and we'll report on whatever the food coma. I don't know.
Something.
I'm
egg
sure.
Smash.
Egg smash. Yeah, we do want to hear about the egg smash next week. So stay tuned and come back for that. Until then, though, goodbye, pellet.
Yeah, patch.
Well, look at you just living the life, being the housewife.
Stopped at Starbucks in Florence.
Oh, listen, honey.
You know what I got? My shaken oat, brown sugar oat espresso.
Espresso, shaken espresso. Yep. It's the best drink to get. It really is. It's the best of the Starbucks drinks. Just going to say.